As you've heard the Old Testament lesson, you will now hear this reflected, let us say, in the New Testament lesson. And I read the familiar text from Matthew about those wise ones who came so long ago. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Here ends our reading of Scripture on this Epiphany Sunday. Would you join me in prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of America's most beloved Broadway musicals is Guys and Dolls. How many of you have seen Guys and Dolls, either professionally or amateur? Well, you know what word I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's fun. I can think of various times in my life when I was able to see it. I saw Jamie Farr, remember Klinger from MASH? He played Nathan Detroit on Broadway. Most recently, my wife Karen and I had a chance to go up to the Guthrie, which is a wonderful place up there in Minneapolis, and see kind of a newfangled version of this musical. But it's fun. And of course, to do research for the sermon today, I had to watch the 1955 movie with Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando and Gene Simmons, and saw that adaptation. And then on the way up, I was listening to it too. Well, Guys and Dolls, as you may know, takes place in 1950 New York City, right in Manhattan on Times Square. And the main characters are high-rolling gamblers, chorus girls, and people that are in the Salvation Army. And of course, during the run of the story, couples fall in love, and they sing such memorable tunes as "If I Were a Bell," or "I've Never Been in Love Before," or my favorite, which I just love to hear. I can still see Stubby K singing it as "Nicely, Nicely Johnson, sit down, you're rocking the boat." Maybe get Sherry to sing that for us today. No. Yeah, it's a fun musical. And in Guys and Dolls, we meet folks who have what we might call street smarts, but are not particularly wise. They're certainly wise guys in that they can can make wise cracks, but they have something to learn about what it means to live a truly fulfilling and happy life. Now, many years before these wise guys and dolls, there were some other wise ones, and we read about them in the page of the Bible, who made a famous journey from what we now call Iran to Bethlehem. And then, of course, in a few days, on January 6th, the world will be observing what is associated with the coming of those wise men, Epiphany, which means manifestation, revealing light. And as I mentioned in my prayer, unfortunately, I think most people are not going to be thinking on January 6th of manifestation, revealing light. They're going to be thinking of something darker, unfortunately. So it'll be for us Christians to hold up that day as something positive and something inspiring when we think of the journey of those wise men. And in fact, our friends in the Eastern Orthodox Church will be celebrating that day, actually, as Christmas. You know, back when, so to speak, in the West, we put Christmas Day simply on the 25th of December to be in competition with the pagans. They were observing days. But in the East, they didn't do that. And for whatever reason, because of calendar differences. So if you go to Russia or Greece, you know, if you want to observe Christmas again, just hop a plane if you want to take the chance and go observe it, because Epiphany for them is also Christmas. Now, we think of these wise men as a model of wise behavior, behavior which goes beyond being smart or with it or in the know. And they teach us, indeed, the difference between being smart and wise. Because, again, we can think of people who are very intelligent, but not particularly wise. And we can think of very humble people who bring us a sort of wisdom, can't we? Yes. So what about those ancient wise guys? Well, for one thing, they were thinkers. They were the intellectuals of their day, the professors, the philosophers, the teachers. And their job was to search and to think. Some people have tried to translate them as the astrologers, but it has nothing to do with modern day astrology when you read the column in the newspaper, if you still do read a newspaper, and to find out what the stars have in store for you. But these folks were really curious, and they looked to the stars and they tried to find meaning there. They wanted to think about important things. Now, one of the reasons why I became a minister, and that was in 1972, was because I had some questions. I wanted to do some thinking about what matters most. So back in 1968, when I was in grad school, I decided, you know, I'd really like to go to seminary. And I put my wife, Karen, through a lot of misery. She resigned, was reinstated, resigned, reinstated, resigned again as a teacher in Akron, Ohio. And, well, she's still with me. And what are we going to celebrate, 54 years? No. Ooh, 55. Don't get me in trouble. 55 years this summer. Yeah, she's playing organ down at our church in Neillsville. Yes, but it was difficult. A very hard decision for me to go to seminary, but one of the reasons why I wanted to do that was simply to have the opportunity to think and to explore my faith in a disciplined fashion with wise professors from the seminary. Some of them indeed were Presbyterians. Yes. Or I think of my Uncle Adrian. My Uncle Adrian was a dentist, and he had bravely served during World War II in the South Pacific. And then he set up a practice in Green Bay, and he did very well. And he was a huge Packer fan. He thought he was Vince Lombardi's assistant, and he would give Vince advice, of course, yes. But when he retired from the dentistry, he asked me for advice on a biblical commentary to buy. And he ended up purchasing a set by the very famous Scottish Presbyterian theologian William Barclay. My uncle told me this. He said, "Jim, now I have the opportunity to just lie in bed in the morning and think. I think about God, and sometimes I just talk to him." So my uncle tried to use the luxury of retirement that he had to just think and get closer to God and better understand God's will for him and for our world. Now, I believe this is also what those wise men so long ago wanted to do. They were men who were devoting their lives to seeking wisdom. Most likely, they studied the stars to gain that wisdom, as I said, and they read books, and they learned about this child who would be king of the Jews. And so as we begin this new year, year 2022, each one of us searches for a measure of wisdom. What we'd like to have, the wisdom to know what to do and how to relate and all. Yes, each one of us searches for a measure of wisdom, but like the guys and dolls of the last century, it isn't always easy to distinguish street smarts from real wisdom. Hmm? You ever been in a quandary? I think of some examples, and I think of some themes. I think of the theme of commitment. I think it's a wise thing to be committed, but poor old Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls, who was a guy that ran the longest serving floating crap game in the city of New York, as they say in a song. He had trouble getting committed to his 14-year-long fiance, Adelaide. Well, they finally did it, but part of his struggle was learning to be committed to one person. And another theme that I think of when I think of both the text and that musical is trust, and learning the difference between, again, what it means to have street smarts and true wisdom. And we look at Nathan Detroit, Sky Masterson, Nicely Icy Johnson, Big Julie, and all the other racetrack regulars, and we encounter guys who are frankly addicted to gambling. They'd even gamble on a piece of strudel or cheesecake, as you can see in the musical. And it makes me think of, yeah, sometimes we aren't so wise either. How many casinos have we built in Wisconsin? My property taxes are going to be a little bit lower because of all the people that bought lottery tickets. But I'm not so sure if it's a wise thing for the state of Wisconsin to be in the business of, in my opinion, preying on people's weaknesses and getting us to try to get rich quick as opposed to sticking it out. Yeah, better to trust in what God has for me, trust in my abilities, than just trust in pure luck or chance. We need to be more persistent, like those camels. The camels, think of, now actually we don't know if the wise men actually rode camels, but it's what we get as we make associations, particularly with the Old Testament text. But one observer said this, "Maybe we're called to be camels, persevering beasts of burden, plodding just right for the journey. I mean, those babies are built for desert travel, just to keep one foot in front of the other, keep our eye on the star, and survive through the storms of the desert." Yeah, we all need to be persistent. I had to tell myself to be persistent with a car that was going as I got up here to Chippewa Falls today. And you can think of times in your life when you knew you had to stick it out, huh? And to be persistent in your career, in your marriage, in other relationships, in whatever. Yeah. But we don't just have to slog through life, but we can do so with a sense of of love and of joy. I think of, again, Uncle Arvid, who was the uncle of the main character, Sarah Brown, in Guys and Dolls. She was this straight-laced young woman who had her eyes set on the kind of man she was going to marry. And Uncle Arvid, from his years of experience, he said, okay, I just, dear niece, I just want you to have the gift of love and to learn and to loosen up a little bit, in fact. And that is one thing that we perhaps learn also, to be persistent, but to love and to loosen up and to have a sense of joy. We read this about the wise men in Matthew. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's where I believe the guys and the dolls of the musical do have something positive to teach us, because they always had a sense of verve and joy and just a sense of getting on with life, as opposed to the humorless Sarah Brown of the Salvation Army, who was looking at her duty. But she, of course, if you know the musical, learned to loosen up too, and to simply accept life and to enjoy life, and then to use that life as we like to say, a blessing. Be a blessing. That's a sign that we have up in front of our yard to remind people to be a blessing and not a curse. So we begin this year of 2022, and I have a New Year's wish for you. I pray that all of us may be wise people, even wise guys and wise dolls. I pray that we'll be able to think and to search and to ask questions. I pray that we will be able to distinguish between what is street smart and what is truly wise. I pray that we'll be able to trust God and act on our faith creatively as we approach new challenges. And certainly we will face new challenges, just as those wise men of old faced them on the road to Bethlehem. And I pray that when we reach our journey's end, just like those wise men, we may be overwhelmed with joy. And that is my wish for you as we begin this new year on this Epiphany Sunday. Amen.